Good morning. Welcome to Back to the Book broadcast. Evangelist Gene Voss with you this morning, bringing to you the precious Word of God from God's precious book, the book for the ages, the book for today, the book for yesterday, and the book for tomorrow. It's God's precious Word for every generation, preserved for us, inspired for us, and kept for us that are saved, so we'd have direction and help in our daily walk with God. Our children, our grandchildren will still have the Word of God preserved for every generation. If man would just leave it alone, if man would just leave his changes alone and trying to reinvent and re-inspire the Word of God, we'd be better off. But just take the Bible, amen, take the Word of God, and it'll bless your life. Good to be here this morning. We appreciate each one that's tuned us in. Hope it can be a blessing to help to your heart today. And hope you're having a good Lord's Day. Get ready to be in the house of God this morning. Be there, prayed up, and ready to worship God in spirit and in truth. And mind the Holy Spirit. Pray for that God would use the service today for His glory. And so it's good to be saved in these last days. I know we're living in dark times. I know that. We understand that. But I tell you, the Lord said, when sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. So we've got something and somebody to help us in this walk of life. Don't care how rough it gets. I don't care how hard it gets. The Lord said, I'm with you all the way. All the way, even to the end of the world. So don't worry about running out of grace. God's going to have it there for you in every situation, in every circumstance. God's grace is sufficient, and that means that it's always enough. Always enough, never fails. And so it's good to be here. We appreciate each listener this morning. And you be in church today, I want to invite you to come be with us here. We're members at Mountain View Baptist Church here in Tryon. And Brother Kevin Norton's a pastor. He'll preach to you the Word of God. And you come today, Sunday school at 10:45, worship service back tonight at 5 for the evening service, and then 7 on Wednesday. So you come, and you be with us throughout this day. We appreciate seeing you in the house of God today. I want to go to the Lord in prayer. I want to pray for your needs this morning. We've got a lot of folks that have needs today, and we'll remember them when we pray. There's multitudes of folks that need some help this morning, and I know that God's able to help each one. Father, as we bow in your presence today, thank you for this day, oh, the Lord's day, the holy day, God, that we've set aside to worship you in spirit and truth and rest and from our labors of the week. I pray that you'd just bless today in every service, Lord, and every teacher as they stand to teach the Word of God. And every pastor, Lord, as they break the bread of life, I pray and bless them, Lord, today. Use them for the glory of God. And these men of God need you this morning, and I pray you'd help them and touch them today. Lord, help our nation this morning to get back to God. Oh, how far we've come from the will of God for this country. How far we've gotten away from the precious Word of God in these days. And Lord, I pray you'd awaken in America, the hearts of the people, the leaders of our land. Quicken them, Lord, convict them of their sin, and bring them to yourself to seek direction from the Word of God and from the will of God. I pray that you just move in a special way. Now, bless throughout this day. Save that one that's nearest hell this morning. Bring them to yourself. Draw them, convict them. Bring them with cords of love to yourself today, And throughout the day, may you get glory. Everything that's done, we'll honor you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. We're going to have some songs this morning. Hope it will be a blessing to you today. And so you pray as they sing. Certainly, we're on a battlefield in this Christian walk with the Lord. And one day it's going to be over. Amen. The book of Luke, chapter 1, we've been trying to preach starting on last Sunday on getting ready for Christmas. Some of you are getting ready already. You've got your decorations up. You've got some gifts bought. And you're planning to prepare some meals. And you're trying to get ready for Christmas. But I'm wondering spiritually, are we ready for Christmas? Amen. And, of course, the Lord is always a planner. He's always in order. He's always got everything just like he wants it. And he began to make plans for Christmas time when the Son of God was manifested through a virgin womb to a sinful world, to a needy people. And the Lord did that for us. But he had to get ready for it. He had to lay the foundation. For what he was going to do, and he began to do that here in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Of course, we know prophetically he began to get the prophets and the people of God ready for it hundreds of years before when he penned down the words about the Son of God that was going to come, and he began to get them ready for that. But here we find Luke, chapter 1, the Dark Ages are over. The silent time between the Old Testament and the New Testament is over. The Lord begins to speak again. He begins to let himself be known again and make himself be known about his purpose and about his matter of life that he's planned for the people of God and for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we know the Lord pinned that down for you and I, everybody. And so he began to get ready for it, and we studied last Sunday, touched on a few things on last Sunday on getting ready for Christmas, how that God used two unlikely people to get folks ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the Bible tells us here in the second chapter of Luke that Zacharias and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, was used greatly of the Lord to get things ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had no child, and they were old and well stricken in years, and according to nature, there was no way they'd ever have a child. But God, amen, but God, and always look for that but God. There's nothing impossible with God, for with God all things are possible. And he began to get things ready for them and using two unlikely people. We mentioned last week about them, two very qualified people that he used for the purpose of making his son known into this world. He used a faithful congregation, a faithful people, and Zacharias and Elizabeth were faithful. They were found doing the work of the Lord. Zacharias was an aged man, but yet he was in the house of God. He didn't think that he'd served his time and he's going to sit down and do nothing. No, he was serving the Lord. He was still in the service of the Lord, and he was a faithful man, and she was a faithful woman. They were looking for an answer to their prayers. They had been praying for a child, and of course, nature comes along, and the years pass by, and no doubt friends and family said, well, you'll never have that child. You'll never have a child. You're too old for that. But God, amen, but God. And so we find that, of course, God used that faithful congregation as he ministered to the Lord in the temple of God, and God began to speak to him. Now, we're going to go a little bit further than that today in verses 11 and try to go a little further in the story on the preparation for Christmas time. Jesus was going to come, and he was going to be manifested to a sinful world, and God had to get everything ready for him to come. And there had to be a forerunner. God told about that. There had to be a forerunner, like Elijah, that would come. And God's always got somebody that he can use for the glory of God. One blessed thing about serving God is God don't have to have us, but he chose to use us. Amen. And so God don't have to have us. He can get everything done on his own, but he's not like that. He uses people and lets them be rewarded for being faithful and for believing what he said in his precious word. But now in verse 11, the Bible said, of course, Zacharias was ministering to the Lord, and because it was the custom of his office, he was burning incense in the temple of the Lord, and he had a revelation. There was an appearance in the house of God, in the temple of God. There's an appearance. God used an angelic presence to let John know what was going to take place. In verse 11, the Bible said, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. There appeared unto him, God used an angelic presence to let John Zacharias know that he was going to have a child. And so there was something, there was a personal appearance. He appeared unto him. God's always personal with his direction. He's always personal. Now, he can be general as when he's speaking to the church in general, as the church said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a general charge to the whole church and to the men of God. But then he can be personal. And the Bible, in this particular instance, it was a personal appearance unto him, unto Zacharias. Who was Zacharias? A faithful servant. Amen. A qualified servant. A faithful one that God chose to use for the glory of God. So an angelic presence appeared there in the house of God. And so the personal appearance unto him. God was getting him in a heavenly state of mind. There was an angel there that always reminds you of something heavenly. Amen. Well, he wasn't any wings beating about him, but he was an angelic presence. I don't see where any wings is found on an angel in the scriptures our pastor brought out not long ago. And so he was getting Zacharias in a heavenly state of mind, even though he was in the house of God. And that's one thing we are failing in our worship today, is getting our minds upon the Lord when we come to the house of God. We're so many different places, and we're so many different solving problems, doing this, doing that in our mind. Everything's going on in the church, and folks trying to worship God, and we're nowhere around. But listen, God was getting him in a heavenly state of mind, reminding him he was doing the work of God, and he was going to be used for the work of the Lord, and he's going to be used to accomplish the will of God in his life. And by the way, that ought to be the prayer of every saint of God. We ought to be, want to accomplish God's will in our lives. We strive so many times to do what we want to do, and what our will is, and what we ask for, and how we plan this, and we plan that. But what about God's will for the life of God's people? What about God's will for your life today? What about God's will? Are you accomplishing God's will in your life today? Are you doing what God wants you to do in your life today? And so he was getting him to a place of a heavenly state of mind, and a good way to do that is be in the right place. Amen. And the Bible said there, if you notice in the last part of verse 11, what did God do? He had only used an angelic presence to remind him and to speak to him. But the last part of that verse, the Bible said the angel of the Lord was standing on the right side of the altar of incense. He was in the right place. He was in the right place. And so if you're in the house of God, you're always in the right place. Where God's people are, where the Spirit of God's working, and the Word of God's being preached, the Word of God's being taught, and where the songs are redounding to the glory of God. And I'm not beating with the rhythm of the world, but I tell worshiping God with the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody unto the Lord. And that's where we ought to be. And so God used a holy place. The Bible said the most holy place. Exodus chapter 30 verse 1 talks about the most holy place. That's where Zacharias was. That's where he's assigned to, the most holy place. I mean, where God met, and where God met with his servant, where God done business, and where God worked and God moved. And that's what the house of God's for today. I know we're not at the Old Testament tabernacle, but we've got the church of the living God, and that God had instituted to sit on the side of the road that he might meet with his people, and they could meet together and worship and fulfill the purpose of God for his work today. So God used the right place. Amen. He used the right. God always does it right. A holy place. Amen. God used a holy place. And I want to just read a few things about that today, if I can find that for just a moment. But God used a holy place, and God instituted that for the people of God. And so what Zacharias was, he was simply serving God in the right place. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 1 said, "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon it of shittim wood, and thou shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. 4 squares shall it be, and 2 cubits shall be the height thereof, and the horns thereof shall be the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides round about, and the horns thereof. Thou shalt make it under the crown of gold round about." And it went on to describe everything about the mercy seat. And he said, "Thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee." Where I will meet with thee. That's where God meets with his people, before the altar. Amen. And that's what the church is for today. And God dwells within our hearts, but he instituted the church of the living God, dedicated for the worship of the saints of God, to preach the word of God, to be respected and loved by the people of God, and where sinners can come in and get saved by God's grace, and then God begins to change their life. Well, and so this is it's a holy place. The Bible said, burning incense there, and Aaron lighted the lamps, and at evening time, burning incense upon it, perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. And so what he was doing, he was carrying on the work of the Lord from every generation that God instituted for a place where God's people could have somebody come in and burn incense unto the Lord, and where he could commune with him, and where God's people could find a touch of God there upon that place. And so we find that Zacharias was in the right place. Amen. A holy place, the most holy place. It's a most holy place, the Bible said there in 30:1, Exodus, the most holy place. Amen. Oh, what a place it is. And so many today have lost the holiness of God on the church of the living God. Would we get back to the place to where the house of God is recognized as a holy place where God's people meet together, respected. Amen. Not where a circus is taking place, not where a striptease is going on and a flesh is being exposed, and where the beat and the rock of the world is taking place, the strobes are flashing their lights across the altars. No, not that kind. That's not a holy place. Amen. That is a place of entertainment, and it's not to be in the house of God. Amen. And you can tell them I said that. And so there's the place that God has instituted that we can gather together and worship the Lord. So God, listen, God used a holy place to get things ready for Christmas time. And that's what we're doing in the house of God today. That means we're getting ready for Christmas time. We're singing the songs about the Lord Jesus, about the birth of the Son of God, and about his revelation to a wretched world, and to come to seek and to save that which was lost. We're meeting for that purpose today. What a blessing it is to meet in the holy place. And God was going, listen, God only used a holy place, but God was going to use a holy man. Amen. He was going to use a holy man. I'm telling you, brother, listen, God uses those folks. They've got a relationship with him. That's right. The Bible said in verses 12, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and that thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him with the spirit and the power of Elijah, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Getting ready for Christmas time. And that's what the Lord was doing. And he's going to use a holy man for that. John the Baptist, the man of God, that God chose to use, even before he's ever born, he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. I'm telling you, you say, how'd God do that? Ask God. I can't tell you, but I believe it. Amen. And so we find that he talked about using a holy man of God. He always uses people for his service here in the Lord. He could have used an angel, but he chose not to do that. I tell you who he chooses to use is God redeemed, blood bought men of God, people of God that he uses for his glory today. And so God chose to do that. And so God's going to use a holy man for as John the Baptist to make known and make ready a people for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John had a message he's going to preach one of these days, and it's going to be about 30-something years before he ever done it. But he's going to preach a message and say, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So that's coming. God is getting folks ready for Christmas time. May God bless you until next Sunday at this time. Amen.